Why did that actually?
Don't know.
Started at the Turway, North West London. Friday, 8th September, 2nd of Cheshvan, Rabbi Alan Kimchi, Parshas Noach. This week's Shurim have been sponsored, Lin Nishmas, Chai Rezel Bas, Rabbatol, Oleh HaSholem, Rabbi Elezer Ben, Chaim Yisrael, Zichron Lebrocha, and Rabbi Chaim Yisrael Ben, Rabbi Yaakov, Zichron Lebrocha.
Good morning, Rabbosai, Shalom Aleichem to you all. It's wonderful to be here. I always enjoy this Beis HaMedrash and this particular program. And whenever I'm asked, if at all possible, I'm happy to participate in this program. Nice to see familiar faces. Life in Yerushalayim is wonderful. It's a magic place to live. Coming back to London is equally wonderful to meet, to reconnect with old friends and family and the tzibur here, the wonderful tzibur here. And thanks for giving me an opportunity to share some Divrei Torah. I want to share one or two ideas with you this morning, which I think might be interesting and thought-provoking. The first one comes from the Shlach HaKadosh. So the Shlach HaKadosh was writing 400 years ago, right? Originally from Prague and later on in Tzfat. The Shlach HaKadosh were on the great Mekubalim of the 1600s. So he says something very beautiful, which you can have kavona in your Shmona Esra for. I always like Divrei Torah, which give you increase your kavona in Shmona Esra. So he says that actually the Chodesh Tishri gives us Ruchnius Koyach for the whole year. We go through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. This is really, we're recharging the batteries of our neshama, and it should last the whole year. So he says in the Tefillah there's a remez that you should remember and reconnect with the moments of inspiration and the high moments that you've had during the month of Tishri. And he says it goes like this: when you're in the first bracha of Shemona Esra, we say Melech Ozer Moshiach Umogen. We're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before we say Mogen Avraham, we say Melech Ozer Moshiach Umogen. Says the Shlach HaKadosh, a beautiful perush which you can almost have in mind when you're davening. He says Melech, of course, is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. Hamelech, Hamelech HaKadosh. Right? There's the Melchus Shemayim. That is the central theme of Rosh Hashanah. Oizer, he says, is a Aseres Yemei Tshuva, where Chazal say there's a special Ezra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps people to return. Dirshu Hashem Behimotzei, Karu Biyosa Koroiv, ask the Gemara, when is Biyosa Koroiv? When is HaKadosh Baruch Hu particularly close to the human being to help us do Tshuva? And that is Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So Melech is Rosh Hashanah, Oizer is Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Moshia, he says, is of course Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the Yeshua. Yom Kippur is the moment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from a negative gezar din and gives us a kapslicha and mechila, and that is the Yeshua. And Mogein, he says, is the schach. Mogein is the protection, right? The schach has to be a protection for us. So when you say Melech, Oizer, Umashia, Umogein, you shouldn't say it too quickly. You should think about the wonderful moments of Simcha and the Sukkah, of inspiration on Yom Kippur, and Malchus Shemayim and Rosh Hashanah, and Tshuva during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and all this is coded in to the Shemona Esra. And I find these particular diukim particularly interesting, because as the Shlach writes, and as we all know, that every word of Chazal was written Baruch HaKadosh, and has all different levels of meaning to it. And I'd like to just add another idea from the Shlach HaKadosh in our tefillah, which is along the same theme, which I also particularly like, and that is that immediately after the Chodesh Tishri, we start saying Mashiv Baruch Hamayin Hagashem. So what does Mashiv Baruch Hamayin Hagashem mean? We're maskirin Gvuras Geshamim, right? We are recognizing the Ato Gibbon Olam Hashem, the Gvuras Hashem Chodesh Baruch Hu, which express themselves in so many different ways. One of the ways it expresses itself is Gvuras Geshamim. So Mashiv Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the wind that blows and the rain that falls comes not b'derech hateva, but it comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But he says in these words there is an oimek, there is a depth, and that is that Mashiv HaRuach means, because of course Ruach also means in Lashon HaKodesh, it means Ruchnius, right? So Mashiv HaRuach means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should restore, right? Like Hoshivu Shev Tegel, Hoshiv means to restore. He should restore the Ruchnius that we have just had throughout the whole of Chodesh Tishri. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yashiv et HaRuach, Umoirid et HaGashmius. You should bring the Gashmias down a little bit. Dial down the levels of Gashmias and to dial up the levels of Ruchnias. So next time you say Mashiach Ruach Amorei Gashem, it's not only about the weather. Of course, here in this country, we're always obsessed with the weather and complaining about the weather and talking about the weather. But in our tefillos, we have these four words, which are not stam a weather report. These words are from Chazal. And therefore, Mashiach HaRuach Amorei Gashem contains this very beautiful idea that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us restore the Ruchnias and to minimize the Gashmias in our lives. This is just a small Dvar Torah for the beginning of the winter, which could maybe enhance one's kavana and machshavas in one's in Shemona Esra. And these are ideas which are connected to 365 days a year, Shemona Esra. This is not Yom Tov for Shemona Esra. That's the first idea I wanted to share with you from the Shlach HaKadosh. The second idea I wanted to share with you was actually a bracha that I gave at a Sheva Brachas. I'm here, incidentally, some of you may know, I'm here, Baruch Hashem, for the chasna of a granddaughter, Devorah Tugendhaft, got married this week, Baruch Hashem, and so we came for the, it's a good reason to come, for the chasna of a granddaughter. Please God, I wish you all that you should be zeicher to be present at the chasnas of your grandchildren, Baruch Hashem.
Amen.
And so I gave them a bracha, which is a nice bracha from about 500 years ago, from the Ramah. The Ramah, as we all know, was living in Krakow 500 years ago, and he famously wrote his additions to the Shulchan Aruch. Right, Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah came and he wrote the Mappa to the Shulchan. He wrote the Mappa, he wrote his additions of Minag Ashkenaz, whereas the Mechaber was more focused on Minag Sfarad, where there were differences. But that's not all he did. The Ramah also brings in additions where he feels the Shulchan Aruch maybe was over practical, and when he wanted to add in certain machshava or ruchni ideas, the Ramah. So the best example of this is in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Right? What does the Shulchan Aruch speak about at the very, very beginning, the first page? And the first line of Shulchan Aruch. So he says, Yisgabe Ka'ari, you should get up in the morning, Shtarach, right, Yitzelas Yadayim, all the halachas of the Hashkamas HaBoker. What is the first thing that the Ramah writes in the Shulchan Aruch? And that is, he says, that the Yisod Godel of life is what? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomit. That's the first thing you've got to wake up in the morning, the first thing you've got to think about is that you're living not in the world of nature, not in the world of politics and economics, but you're living in the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's your first thought. Shivisi Hashem, Lenegdi Tomid. It should be Tomid, in other words, constantly throughout the day, you should have in mind. And then he brings, actually uniquely in the whole of the Shulchan Aruch, it's the only time that he brings a quote from the Moreh Nevuchim of the Rambam. The Moreh Nevuchim is not a sort of sefer which you would have thought would find its way into the Shulchan Aruch. Moreh Nevuchim is about Hashkafa, it's about something that's probably the most difficult Hashkafa Sefer that was ever written. Moreh Nevuchim literally means the guide for the perplexed, but many people after reading it are more perplexed than they were before they started reading it, because it is actually an extremely complicated and difficult sefer to read, but at the very end, it's written a bit like Koheles, that within it, there are all sorts of complicated things which are difficult to understand. But in the end, in the closing parokim, Seif Dova, Hakol, Nishma, Sevekim, Yerei, Mitzvosa, Shemor, Kizeh, Kol Ha'odom, in the very, very end, the final chapters of the Moreh Nevuchim, he speaks about Avodas Hashem, Bashleimus, Beisroimus, Beislavus. He speaks about how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most amazing ways. So the Ramah brings a citation from the closing chapters of the Moreh Nevuchim, that's what one should live constantly with, an awareness that we're in the presence of the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid. Very nice. The Talmidim of the Ramah make a very interesting observation, and they say over an interesting vort that he said. Let me just first mention the connection, if you like, the hook to hang this on, and that is in every Shmona Esra of Musaf, that we say on Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, every Musaf Shmona Esra, we say, of course, all the korbanos of the Musaf that we speak about, Rosh Hashanah, to grieve Oro Hashem. And then in the end we say, Ushnei Tamidim Kilchosim. In other words, in addition to all the Musaf Korbanos, doesn't even matter what the Musaf Korbanos were, there could be hundreds of Musaf Korbanos. 365 days a year, there were Shnei Tamidim Kilchosim. There was the Tomid Shel Shachar, all the Avodah, the Beis Hamikdash began with the Tomid in the morning, that was the first, and the Tomid Shel Bein Harbaim was the end. So in other words, the Tamidim were, if you like, the parenthesis within which all the Korbanos were brought, even Yom Kippur, with the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. The day started with the Tomid Shel Shachar and ended with the Tomid Shel Bein Harbaim. So those were the Shnei Tamidim Kilchasa. That's what we say, Musafim, right? Tamidim Kilchasa. The Ramah had a very beautiful addition to this idea of Shnei Tamidim Kilchasa. So he says like this. If you look in the additions to the Ramah to Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch Aruchayim, the first book of the Shulchan Aruch. So he starts with the word, with Shavisi Hashem and Negdi Tomid. So he says the first Tomid in life is Emunah, is to be aware that you're living in the world where Rabbeinu Shlomo, that he's Mashkiach and he sees and he's with us all the time. That's the first Tomid. What is the closing words of the Ramah? 697 chapters later, at the very, very end of Shulchan Aruch Aruchayim Chelek Aleph, what's the closing word? Anybody know? It's a quotation from Mishle, right? Leiv Toiv Mishte Tomid. Leiv Toiv Mishte Tomid, he says, that is also a midah of someone who is an Oved Hashem, that he's constantly besimcha. It's constantly besimcha. How is one constantly besimcha? Life is not always mesameach. Sometimes life is full of simcha, sometimes it's full of difficulties. Nevertheless, Leiv Tov Mishteh Tomid means our simcha comes from the fact that we have the privilege of being Osek in Torah and being Mekayim and Mitzvahs. That privilege should give us an underlying simcha despite everything else that's going on in life. Says the Talmidei HaRamah that he had in mind, right, Shnei Tamidim Kilchos. Right? All good mathematicians will tell you that every mathematical formula has got constants and variables, right? But life has got constants and variables, right? Every day is variable. Sometimes days are good, sometimes not so good, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes successful, less successful. So the Ramah is saying, even though there are lots of variables in life, there should be in everybody's life Shnei Tamidim. One Tomid is Emunah, and the other Tomid is Simcha. And they are the parenthesis, if you like. Like the Tamidim in the Beis Hamikdash started off the day and ended the day. Shnei Tamidim Kilchosom is Shavisa Hashem Renegdi Tamid, and Leiv Tov Mishne Tamid. These two psukim are the Tamidim of life. And that is, I think, a very beautiful idea. Also, incidentally, those of you who are called upon to give a bracha at Sheva Brachas or a mitzvah or something like this, this is known in the rabbinic world as an all-purpose Dvar Torah, right? You can use it in many, many different settings, different occasions. It's always good to have up your sleeve all-purpose Divrei Torah. Incidentally, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, here in England, if you have to speak at a simcha or something, they ring you up 3 weeks in advance, you know, and they say, please, would you be kind enough to say a few words, one thing or other. In Eretz Yisrael, it's come to me a few times already, you come as a guest, whatever, and the Baal Simcha has a certain idea in the middle of the simcha, gets up and says, Rabbi Kimchi, b'chavot. In other words, he invites you to speak without having asked you b'chlal beforehand, without having given you any warning at all. So you've always got to be Muchanum Zumun, you've always got to be fully prepared with up your sleeve having a few all-purpose Divrei Torah, and this is definitely one of them. I'd like to say a few words about Parshas Noach. First of all, I want to give you a question to which I don't have an answer, or there are answers, but it needs further thought. And I'm sure that some people will come up with genius solutions to it, but I haven't found any genius solutions to it. And this is that Noach sends out the Yonah, right? He sends out the Yonah three times, as we know, right? The first time he sends out the Yonah, V'lo motzo Yonah mo Noach. V'lo motzo Yonah mo Noach. And the Yonah, the dove, flew around, couldn't find anywhere Couldn't find anywhere to rest. Why? Because the flood, there was no dry land anywhere to land. The second time, the Yonah comes back with an Ale Zayis Torah fulfilled, with an olive twig. Where did she get an olive twig from? Where was there an olive twig? Do you know how long it takes for an olive tree to grow and produce an olive twig? And 7 days earlier, there was not one square inch of dry land. Suddenly there's an olive twig. How did that work? Where did it come from? How was it possible to produce an olive twig? This is a conundrum in Parshas Noach, right? That we don't know exactly. The truth is, in Medrash Rabbah, Chazal asked this question. And they give a remarkable answer. Anybody know what the answer is? What's that? So there are two terutzim. One is he took it from Gan Eden, whatever that means. We don't quite know exactly what that means. He took it from Gan Eden. The other is, extraordinarily, took it from Eretz Yisrael. There's a shitta in Chazal that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. The problem is that whichever answer you give to this question, if that's true, then the twig that she's bringing is not at all a simon that the flood has ended, because she's taken it from a place where there was no flood, right? So it's not a simon; it doesn't mean anything at all.
That's why Rashi says what he says.
What
does
he say?
That's why Rashi says
mitzvah is a. Okay, but that doesn't answer the question.
No, that's the response.
But it doesn't answer.
I brought it from the night to point this out.
Okay, but it doesn't answer the question, because it's quite clear from the parsha that the bringing of the twig is meant to be a simon kehekalu hamayim. So he's decided, he's seen the twig, and he knows that the waters have receded, and that he can get out of there.
Why couldn't they go and find the twig the first time? You have to tell mom
with it. That's right, he could have gone to the twig, exactly right. So the truth is, this is what is known as a conundrum, which means whichever way you turn it around, it remains difficult. It's a difficult shaila. You have to get into the world of Drush or the world of Kabbalah, which I'm not qualified to get into, which is, there was something symbolic about this olive twig, and that actually it wasn't at all a simon of what you think it was. The pshat doesn't work, right? That's a stammer shayla I'd like to share with you, something to think about, and you can ask your family whether they've got a solution to it.
Why couldn't you say that the tree was there submerged by the flood?
No, because the pasuk says "Vayimach es kol hayikum," that the flood "Vayimach" means everything was obliterated. "Vayimach es kol hayikum" means it was all obliterated. Everything was obliterated. We use the word "Vayimach" like "Timcha zeicha molek." "Vayimach" means to obliterate, to wipe it out completely, leave nothing behind at all. Okay, Rabbi, so this is just a. I just threw this in as chomer lemachshava to think a little bit about. Okay. I'd like to just have a look at the story of the Mabul, if you like, more the big picture of the story of the Mabul. Why really is it? Here's an interesting question for our Sefer Bereishis particularly. Why are we so interested in the Maisim of the Avarionim? The Torah goes into great detail with the Averus of the Dor HaMabul. Later on in this week's parsha, the Averus of the Dor HaFloga, right? The Averus of the Dor HaFloga, building the Migdal Bovel. Why are we so concerned about these Averus? Why does the Torah give us an account of the Avarionim that Klal Yisrael, that mankind really committed? So first of all, I'd just like to point out, in terms of the Medrash, a very beautiful Medrash I'd like to share with you just for one moment, and that is Nach ish tzaddik tomim hoya b'day roisov. Everybody knows Rashi's perish day roisov and the shvach and gnai, but the Medrash got a different perish. What was day roisov? What does that mean? It's an unusual thing to say, that he was a tzaddik b'day roisov in his generations. So the Medrash says something very beautiful on a pasuk that we're all familiar with, the very first pasuk of Tehillim. What does it say? Asher ish, asher aholach, v'atzas, v'shoim. Over Derech Hatoim, Lo Amad, over Moshav Leitzim, Lo Yoshav, Ki Im B'Toris Hashem Chavtzai. That's the beginning of Tehillim. Says the Medrash on this week's Parsha very beautifully. He says, this is, who is the Ish? Is the Noach Ish Tzadik. And what are the Doiroisav? So he says that actually Noach lived through three terrible generations. Three generations who really brought into this world a new level of Averus, of Kfira, of rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who were they? The first was Dor Enosh. Dor Enosh, who brought into the world systematic Avodah Zarah and Kfira. So says the Medrash, Shelo Holach Ba'atzas Rashayim is Dor Enosh, that he wasn't affected by the Kfira and Avodah Zarah of Dor Enosh. Of a Derech HaTayim Lo Omad, he says, is a Dor HaMabul, that the Dor HaMabul was the second generation who were completely Shakua in Taivas and in Aroyas and promiscuity. And not lokach lehem noshim b'karash b'choru, they were completely immersed in taivus. And then dor haflaga, the dor of the migdal bovel, right? They were immersed. They reached new levels of gaiva and of self-importance that they could, in some way, come to deny the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and reach a level of a malchus shel kfira, right? Nimrod tried to establish a Malchus Shel Kfira, a bit like sort of a communist regime, and these sort of nations who were it was fundamental to the whole culture to have a Kfira in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom. So the Medrash says, this is Nayach B'Dei Rosov, that Moshe Leitzim Lo Yoshav is the Dor HaFloga. She says, these are the three Doros which presented a major challenge of Averus to Noach, and his koyach was to be Oymed b'Nisayon. That was his koyach. Noach is the ultimate in the whole Torah of somebody who was surrounded by Doros who were completely committed and obsessed with Averus and resisted it completely. What is Ki'im b'Teiras Hashem Cheftzai? He says Noach started the whole process of Torah with the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach was the, if you like, in terms of mankind, this was the Kitta Aleph of Torah. Right? The first step of Torah was to formulate and to commit oneself to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So this first pasuk is something worth remembering that's got a beautiful kesher to this week's parasha. But I'd like to take this a little bit deeper. Following a few of the Mefarshim in the Shem Shmuel and in the Siva Shalom, they've got a very interesting insight into Parshas Bereishis and Noach, dealing with the question that I asked at the beginning of the Shia. Why are we so interested in all these Averus? Why should we go to such great detail? So he says that actually the key to understanding it is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos Perikei, which says, "Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvorim halalu mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu." What were the hallmarks of Avraham Avinu? If somebody wants to be called a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, what are the? And this, of course, is a reference to mainly to the Midas. Of course, the hallmark of Avraham Avinu was a Muna and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in terms of Midas, who is a Talmud of Avraham Avinu? So it brings down three things. Ayin Tova, right? So Ayin Tova means that he's not jealous of other people, that he doesn't want to take what belongs to other people, that he is able to look at the world and see what is good and not feel deprived and feel that other people have got more than them. That's Ayin Tova. The second one is Ruach Nemucha, which means Anova. Anova's humility, right? Avraham Avinu says, "Vanochi ofa va'ifa," right? He sees himself with great humility. And the third one is nefesh shvola. Nefesh shvola means that he is moderate in his life of gashmius. He's not trying to indulge in a life of gashmius. He minimizes. Gashmius, right? He's offered for Megan an enormous wealth of Melech Sadaim, and he says, "In Michut Vad Sarai Chnal, I don't need any of your wealth, Baruch Hashem. I'm managing very nicely. Thank you very much. I don't need any of this great wealth." So Avraham Avinu demonstrated these three great milas that he wasn't jealous of what other people had. He was happy for other people to be matzliach. He had simcha in the hatzlacha of other people, and he wasn't trying to take other people's. Secondly, he wasn't involved too much in taivas, in the in in looking for to consume physical pleasures. And thirdly, he had this anova. Say the Mephoroshim something very beautiful. That actually, the only reason why we get these stories of, let's say, of Cain committing murder, right? That's number one. Stories of the Dor HaMabul, who was so involved, Shakua, in their taivus and in their pleasures and in their promiscuity. And number three was the Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFloga, who were building the Migdal Bava in order to show the Naselon Hashem. We are great, we are powerful, we can conquer the world, we don't need a Rebbeinu Shlom, we can live without it. The only reason why we got these stories is to give us a contrast to appreciate what Avraham Avinu was doing. So only in next week's Parsha in Lech Lecha we get Avraham Avinu, and he demonstrates these three middos of Ayin Teva, Ruach Nemucha, and Nefesh Shefala, that he knows how to deal with these three great, if you like, the Yetzirahs, which are built into human nature. These are not Yetzirahs which are unusual. Every human being, as a human being, has a tendency, has a potential. Right? What are these three? So these three are what the Mishnah says, Akina, V'Hataiva, V'Hakovoid, Moitzian, and Sa'odam in Ha'olam. These three are built into a human being. Kino is jealousy. There is a tendency to jealousy. One has to work on it to make sure that you're happy with what other people have got for themselves and you don't have any natias of leisachmon, of wanting what other people have, right? Taiva is natural. It's built into the human being to want to enjoy physical pleasures, but it's up to the person to use his bechira to moderate that, right? And kovod is also something which is looking for prestige and for fame and for acknowledgement. That is something which also needs to be moderated. So we only get the stories of, so says the Siva Shalom, that Cain exemplified kino. In fact, the word Cain, the name Cain, comes from the word kino. Right? The Mephoroshim explained, because when Chava, when she gave birth to Cain, she said, Konisi Isha Selakim, that she was over possessive about her son. There are people who are very possessive about their children, don't know how to let them go, don't know how to let them live, then give them the freedom to be themselves. So that was Chava. Chava was Kamisi Ishas, right? It's true, she said, I did it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu together, but he's mine. And she gave him the name Cain, and he turned out to be somebody obsessed with possessiveness. He couldn't get out of the possessive, even though the whole world was his. But he couldn't bear the idea that he had to share it with Hevel, whatever the Perushim are. Cain was motivated by jealousy, the Dor HaMabul was motivated by Taiva, and the Dor HaFloga were motivated by Kovod. Hakina v'Taiva v'Kovod were rampant in mankind. In other words, the dark side of human nature had taken control of mankind. And into that world Avraham Avinu was born. And his chiddush was, in addition to Emunah, his chiddush was that it's part of the way to live, Shavisi Hashem, the Nevdi Sarek, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is with Ayin Teva, Ruach Nemucha, and Nefesh Shefala, with these three middos to keep in control the kin of our time of our covered, and that was the gadlus of Avraham Avinu, and that's the reason why the Torah gives us these episodes of our virus, as a Limud Haskel, to understand that mankind was grappling with these tendencies towards kina, taiva, and kovod, but it's possible that the chiddush of Avraham Avinu is that it's possible to overcome all of them and live a life of avodas Hashem. That's it, Rabbis. That's all I have time for today. Very nice to see you all here this morning. I wish you all atzlacha rabbah, and please God, we should continue to learn Torah in this wonderful Beis HaMedrash, and we'll get together, please God, next time one of my grandchildren get married or something along those lines. We will come back together again. All the very best. You're the man who gets me around the world. Thank you so much for the help. Thank you again. We made an appointment for this morning.
Zamadeus, 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 Zamadeus,